You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, how's it going? As always, it's your boy, Sosa Cremenges, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus, and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. I just finished watching the Los Angeles Rams beat up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Week 11, placing them second in the NFC. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast, Rams fans, Rams Nation. As you guys know, the Rams played technically last night, if you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, which I'm sure most of you are. This is our post-game recap. As I mentioned, obviously the Rams played on Monday Night Football, and they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by a score of 27-24, improving their record to 7-3 on the season, placing them second in the NFC right now, only second to the New Orleans Saints, who I believe are 8-2 at this point in time. This is a huge game for the Rams. This was a huge, huge win. Not only was it on national media, not only did everyone get to see just how dominant this team is, just how complete of a team and how complete of a roster they are, but the Rams now hold tiebreakers in the NFC over the Chicago Bears, over the Seattle Seahawks, and over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all three of which are potential NFC playoff teams. So this is going to be a big deciding factor when it comes to the seeding in the NFC down the line. And luckily for the Rams, they hold the tiebreaker over all three teams, man. But with that being said, we got to dive into their performances. We're going to start right with the quarterback position. Quarterback Jared Goff, he completed 39 of 51 attempts on the day for 376 yards passing with three passing touchdowns and two interceptions. Now, one of those interceptions was not his fault. It was a miscommunication on a screen pass to running back Darrell Henderson, which kind of just went wrong. I don't even know what happened there. So I think we can kind of chalk one of those up to just a straight up miscommunication. But with that being said, man, Jared Goff was incredibly sharp in this game. I mean, outside of the one interception over the middle of the field that he threw to a safety that broke on a in-breaking route to Robert Woods, I mean, Goff was great. He was very accurate for the most part. He was very decisive, and clearly the Rams had a plan to attack the Buccaneers through the air, and as they should. If you guys listened to the podcast last week, I mentioned on multiple occasions that the Buccaneers were the best run defense in football. So if there was one way that the Rams should have attacked the Bucs, it was through the air, and the Rams obviously agreed. They let Goff throw the ball 51 times in this game. He nearly had 400 yards passing, and he had a great contest. I mean, he was very accurate. He was decisive. He was maneuvering in the pocket so well. He was checking out of plays when he seen the blitz coming. He was not bothered by pressure or the blitz. I think this was arguably his most impressive performance this season. It was definitely up there somewhere. And I know people are going to get stuck on that box score and see those two interceptions and make a big deal out of it. But man, when I see just how far he's come from that Miami game, being able to audible, adjust play calls against the blitz and notice blitzers coming, I think he's taken such a massive step in his development over the last few weeks. You've seen it now in back-to-back weeks, his ability to adjust play calls at the line. I love it, man. This was huge for the Rams. He was huge in this game. And you can't really understate just how good he was in this one, especially when you consider how nimble he was in the pocket against pressure. Going to the Rams running game, as I mentioned, the Bucs have the best run defense in football, and that comes as no surprise because the Rams could not do anything on the ground. I mean, Malcolm Brown had three carries for 20 yards, most of which came on third and long, so they were literally just free yardage that the Rams were getting ready to punt the ball away from. Rookie Cam Akers had five carries for 15 yards for an average of 3 yards per carry. That's pretty terrible, but he did score his first touchdown in this game on a reception, so shout out to Cam Akers for that. Darrell Henderson only had 8 carries for 5 yards, averaging 0.6 yards per carry. I mean, the Rams couldn't do anything rushing the ball. They barely had 30 yards rushing in this game. It was ugly, but like I mentioned, the Rams wanted to pass the ball, and they did that very effectively. And that began with slot receiver Cooper Kupp, who had 13 targets on the game. He pulled in 11 of those for receptions for 145 receiving yards. He actually, I believe, had 100 yards in the first half, which is pretty crazy. And then his running mate, Robert Woods, had 15 targets on the game, pulling in 12 of those for receptions for 130 yards receiving and a touchdown. I mean, these two were just incredible tonight, man. They were so good at creating separation, catching the ball, creating yards after the catch, and coming up big, you know, on third downs, on second and longs, and converting the chains. Outside of one play where Robert Woods had a clear-cut third down and for some reason made a, you know, step backwards and tried to get a little bit more than he should have, the Rams ultimately couldn't convert on the third and short and had to punt the ball away. Outside of that, you know, Robert Woods is amazing in this game. Cooper Kupp was amazing in this game. And then you look at the remaining players, and no one really did all that much from the receiving core. Josh Reynolds chipped in with 3 for 32. Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee both caught 4 passes apiece, but Everett only had 27 yards receiving and Higbee only had 19 yards receiving. And shout out to rookie Van Jefferson, who also caught 1 pass for 7 yards and for a touchdown on his one target. He caught his first NFL touchdown in this game, which, like Cam Akers, both of these guys secured their first touchdown in the NFL together in week 11, which is awesome to see. The Rams did say they wanted to get these guys more involved moving forward. And, you know, we didn't see a ton of Akers and Jefferson in this one, but it was great to see them finally find the end zone, finally start to, you know, contribute huge plays for this offense. And you can't understate how good these guys have been when their numbers have been called. With that being said, the offensive line of the Rams were just tremendous in this game. Like I mentioned, they couldn't run the ball. Obviously, you know, it was going to be a long shot really all game. That was to be expected when you look at just how stout the Buccaneers are up front. Then you look at the loss of left tackle Andrew Whitworth and his replacement in left tackle Joe Noteboom. I mean, you got to be impressed in this game. Jared Goff wasn't even sacked in this game. I mean, he dropped back to pass the ball 51 times and he was not sacked. I mean, there was a few snaps here and there with pressure. But like I mentioned, Goff looked very comfortable in this game. He looked up to the task when it came to just maneuvering in the pocket. His pocket presence was arguably at an all-time high in this one. And the offensive line did more than enough. There were multiple occasions, specifically on third downs and passing downs, where the offensive line held up for Jared Goff for like 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 seconds when it came to his dropbacks. And it was very impressive to see. And these guys were clearly up to the task in this game. And man, you can't do nothing but give them a shutout and give them a game ball for their performance in this contest, because they allowed Jared Goff all the time he needed to pick apart the soft and weak zones of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to dive into the defensive side of the ball. And man, you know we got to talk about some interesting stuff on that side of the ball, man. Those guys played great in this contest. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MEP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Protecting my family is my number one priority, but I want to do it safely. The people at Taser believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your GPS location upon firing. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code NFL. Save 15% now at Taser.com with the promo code NFL. That's spelled TASER.com with the promo code NFL. Restrictions apply. Please see the site for details. Welcome back to the second segment of this victory edition of the Tuesday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. While we've got you, man, make sure to come back on Wednesday when former host Brad Motter joins me to break down this Week 11 contest between the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in detail, man. We're going to dive into everything, and Brad's going to share his opinion on this contest. But while I've got you, you know I got to share mine, man. And like I mentioned before the break, we got to dive into this defense because they played tremendous. And I got to start with Mr. Sixth Round Pick, rookie safety, number 199, picking off Mr. 199 himself, the man who made that pick famous, Tom Brady. Jordan Fuller picked this man off 2 times in the game now. The picks were literally just gift wrapped. I mean, he didn't have to work for them. He didn't have to do much. He was in deep coverage on both snaps, and the ball was literally just tossed right into his hands, and he picked them both off and got 43 yards worth of returns on those two picks. And shout out to him, man, because he had the game-sealing interception and was huge for the Rams in this contest, which was very important because the Rams did just lose Taylor Rapp last week to an injury that's going to keep him out for multiple weeks and potentially the end of the season. So that was huge for Jordan Fuller to step up. You can't even underestimate how good he was in this game. But really, like I mentioned before the break, man, this defense was just tremendous. Now, they only notched one sack on Tom Brady, which was from Samson Ebukam, the edge rusher. But they were in his face very often in this game, man. There was a lot of pressure. Those pockets were very muddied. Really, Tom Brady could never get comfortable back there. You could see him dropping back, and he had to take his little short, choppy steps with his feet because there was a lot of traffic and a lot of muddy pockets going on back there. And that started with defensive tackle Aaron Donald, like it always does. But there were some lesser-known players, man, that played great in this game. I mean, Michael Brockers registered a nice QB hit and had six tackles. You look at guys like Sebastian Joseph Day, who had three tackles in this game. Leonard Floyd, who had two tackles. None of these guys notched sacks, but they were all so important, especially against the run, because the Buccaneers, like the Rams actually, could not do anything on the ground. I mean, neither team had any space to rush the ball. Ronald Jones had 10 carries for 24 rushing yards, and Leonard Fournette had 7 carries for 17 rushing yards. Both players averaged 2.4 yards per rush. That was every bit as bad as the Rams' rushing attack in this contest. Clearly, both teams were ready to stop the run in this game, and the Rams really allowed absolutely nothing on the ground. So that was why the Buccaneers really had to transition into a passing offense, and that didn't work out very well for them. I mean, Jalen Ramsey was very good in this contest. Obviously, he did get flagged for two pass interference calls, which were both very ticky-tacky, especially the second one. I did not see how that one was a pass interference call, but you know, it is what it is. That's what they called. Again, Ramsey shadowed most of Mike Evans in this contest. Like I mentioned during the week last week, those two matched up the best in terms of their physical standpoint. You know, they're both taller guys. They're both stronger guys. It made sense for the Rams to allow Ramsey to cover Evans a lot in this contest, and that's what he did. And the only time Evans really made a huge play, which was the touchdown he scored against Troy Hill, which was a mismatch that the Rams did not want. You could see head coach Sean McVay sprinting down the sidelines to actually call a timeout when that play happened right before. Now, obviously, the Rams didn't get a timeout off in time, and it resulted in a touchdown, but you could tell that the Rams did not like that matchup, and they probably wanted a guy like Ramsey to cover Evans, specifically in the red zone, where the Buccaneers love to go to Mike Evans and try to get touchdowns there by way of, you know, using his size and strength, and that's what happened, and it didn't happen against Jalen Ramsey. And then you look at a guy like Darius Williams, who didn't have his best game, but even when he doesn't have his best game, the guy still shows up and competes. You know, he had two pass deflections in this game. He had four tackles in this game. Now, he did allow one touchdown, which was potentially in his coverage. We don't know for sure. It looked like Chris Godwin, the diving attempt over his head, looked like it was probably a result of Williams dropping a little bit too deep in his coverage, especially down there in the red zone. But with that being said, man, these guys stepped up when they needed to. You've seen multiple pass deflections. You've seen very sticky coverage for the most part, outside of when the Rams really try to keep everything in front. You could see certain guys dropping back a little bit further than they needed to in their coverage, but that was by design. The Buccaneers were one of the teams, like I mentioned again last week, that throws the ball deep. They threw the ball deep at an absurdly high rate, arguably one of the best deep passing offenses in football, and the Rams were clearly aware of that. They were clearly ready to game plan that out of them, and they did that. You know, Tom Brady did throw the ball deep a handful of times. There was one pass where Darius Williams was in coverage and he overthrew Antonio Brown. There was about one or two passes to Mike Evans deep, one of which should have been picked off by John Johnson, who just dropped it. And another, that was the pass interference call on Jalen Ramsey, which was once again relatively ticky-tacky. But again, you know, the Buccaneers wanted to throw the ball deep. That's what they do. But they couldn't get anything going. They even had another deep shot across the middle to Scotty Miller, where Jordan Fuller looks like he breaks on the ball, potentially with perfect timing. It was very close, and the refs threw another flag. I mean, the Rams were penalized multiple times for pass interference. In the first half, the Rams had over 75 yards worth of penalty yardage just in pass interference calls. I mean, it was so one-sided. It was so BS, in my opinion. Those guys were reaching into their pockets for those flags way too often, way too quickly. You got to know the personnel on the field, man. Jalen Ramsey is going to get physical. Mike Evans is going to get every bit as physical. Like, let's be real here. You know what I mean? You can't call this one-sided. Let these guys play. And when things get out of hand, throw that flag. You know, I'm totally with it. I think that first play against Ramsey could have very well been a pass interference. I had no problems with the first one. But the second one, I mean, Mike Evans slaps the guy's head down and is more physical than Ramsey is. And Ramsey gets called for a pass interference. It doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, we're going to dive into that in the last segment. I don't want to get into it too much. But with that being said, man, The defense deserves all the credit in the world, you know. We did get an injury. Inside linebacker Micah Kizer looked like he hurt his knee or something near the end of the game in the fourth quarter. He hobbled off and Troy Reeder came in to replace him, which was unfortunate. We also did have an injury to tight end Tyler Higbee, though he came right back in the game with what looked to be a massive brace on his elbow. So that's something to note as well. But again, man, this defense was just great. John Johnson could have had another turnover for the Rams. Jordan Fuller had his two interceptions. Darius Williams made multiple plays on the ball. The linebackers were not liabilities at all in this contest. You look at the front, they were just outstanding. They allowed no space whatsoever for the running game of the Buccaneers. And not only that, but like I mentioned, I mean, these guys were just tremendous at muddying the pocket for Tom Brady. Like I mentioned, there wasn't a lot of sacks. We know that there was only one from Samson Ebukam. But with that being said, you know, they were so active in getting Brady off his spot, moving his launch point, not letting him get comfortable in that pocket, and it made all the difference for the Rams. You know, they were tremendous in this game. The defense was clearly relied on in the second half. The offense of the Rams could not do anything. Before the final drive, I believe they totaled only 20 yards of offense from the kickoff of the second half all the way up until that final drive to where Jared Goff drove the Rams down the field for essentially what was the game-winning field goal. I mean, they had one interception on the Goff interception. They had a fumble on the miscommunicated snap between Jared Goff and Austin Blythe. And then you look at another short field that the Buccaneers started with, and the Rams defense bailed them out pretty much every single time. They only allowed one touchdown in that half. And I mean, when you look at it, Tom Brady's arguably the best player ever to play football. He had, what, four, five, six drives in that second half and came away with one touchdown. Brandon Staley, the defensive coordinator of the Rams, continues to be the best adjuster at halftime in the NFL. I am not taking any applications at this point in time. I'm standing firm with this take. I mean, the guy goes into halftime. The Rams are up 17-14. They come out of the half, and they don't allow the Buccaneers to really do anything. They scored 3 points on the immediate interception from Jared Goff, which was an incredibly short field. Again, the defense did a great job to hold them to three and not allow seven. And then they only allowed seven actual legitimate points in that half. You can't understate how special this unit has been. Guys are stepping up everywhere. You had guys like edge rusher Justin Holland step up in this game. He had a great pass rep against Rob Gronkowski in coverage. He had another pressure that actually resulted in the interception to a guy like Jordan Fuller. You have rookies stepping up in places. You have arguably the best duo at cornerback in football. You have Aaron Donald up front. You have so much talent. Brandon Staley is extracting every single drop of talent from this team, and he has them schematically at an advantage over offenses, and it's made all the difference for the Rams thus far. Coming up when we return, I'm going to dive into the special teams. If you guys follow me on Twitter, you know I was hammering the special teams all night. I was loving every second of it. We're going to talk about those refs, what was going on there, and the final adjustments from that coaching staff from the Rams. And while we've got you, man, like I mentioned earlier, make sure to check back tomorrow on Wednesday for the game recap. We're going to dive into it, deep dive into it. Former host Brad Motter and I, we're going to talk about all things Week 11 as well as touch base with the Week 12 game for the Los Angeles Rams. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take with you anywhere as the gel packages are only 1.5 ounces. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It provides 5 hours of energy without that same crash feeling, plus it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink, but with a third of the caffeine and better results. There are three delicious flavors, and chocolate coconut is personally my favorite. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein and is loaded with many great ingredients like beta-alanine, B3, honey, caffeine, B6, and more. It helps me get through my rigorous days that are loaded with work and working out, and it'll help you too. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Welcome back to the final segment. Victory, Rams Nation. Wow, how are you guys feeling today, man? I know you guys are enjoying going to work today. You're probably a little bit groggy in the morning, specifically if you're on that Eastern time zone as I am right now recording. It's just about midnight. You guys probably stayed up all night, you know, watching this game, buzzing, probably not sleeping all that well. For good reasons, though, man. I'm buzzing, too, and I'm feeling electric, and I'm thrilled with the performance from the Rams, man. I expected them to lose a close game in this one, but they came out and really just showed the world on national television just how good this team is, how dominant they are. In that first half, you've seen the offense come to life and really look unstoppable. In the second half, you've seen the defense come to life and look unstoppable. And the Rams may have actually found a kicker for once. You know, Matt Gay, this was his first game with the Rams. He was just activated onto the 53-man roster a day ago after the Rams signed him from free agency where he didn't actually have a job. And Gay looked awesome in this game. He was 2-for-3 on field goals with a long of 40. Now, he did miss a 44-yard attempt, which was pretty close. Let's be honest here. He went 3-for-3 on extra points, all very clean kicks. And he hit so many touchbacks in this game. This guy clearly has a leg that is strong. He can get the ball to the end zone, which is a huge thing for the Rams. I believe the Buccaneers only had one kick return, and they didn't even get 21 yards on that return. So it was clearly a net positive for the Rams. But with that being said, man, this guy looks dependable. I mean, he looked dependable. I wasn't shaking every time he went in to kick. He obviously hit the field goal that put the Rams ahead and essentially was the game-winning field goal. This guy was dependable. He looked comfortable. He clearly has the range that the Rams used to have with a guy like Greg Zuerlein. Maybe not as strong, but something similar and way further than a guy like Kai Forbath had. And I think that the Rams may actually ultimately move forward with a guy like Matt Gay. And it makes a ton of sense. I think he's 100% earned the right to kick for the team at least for the next few weeks. And we'll see how that experiment goes, man. But so far, I think it's pretty safe to say that Gay is already the best kicker that the Rams have had this season. When you look at guys like Samuel Sloman and Kai Forbath, I no longer feel all that terrible about the kicker position. And it's something that we've talked about a lot on this podcast. And so far, it's been good with the Gay experiment. Hopefully, the Rams can keep it moving forward. And hopefully, Gay can continue his consistency moving forward. Hopefully, this is a guy who can get comfortable in the NFL in his second gig legitimately kicking in the NFL. And the Rams look to have potentially found a kicker moving forward. And with that being said, you know, punter Johnny Hecker got his. He had 5 punts in this game for an average of 43.4 yards, one of which landed inside the 20, and his long was a 47. Now, he didn't have his best game. He didn't have his worst game. It was just classic Johnny Hecker getting in there, flipping field position, nothing all too crazy. And then the Rams kicking game just didn't really do much. They only had 2 returns on punts and really only had a long of 2 yards on the return. So Nasimba Webster didn't get much action. But with that being said, you guys know, I mentioned before this break, the misguided referees, man. I don't get it. You know, it felt like they were against the Rams in this contest. I don't recall the Bucs really getting any bad penalty calls. I mean, even the penalty call that they had where Tom Brady threw the ball, it got batted, he caught it and threw it again, was kept. You know, I mean, that's probably how the rule works, I'm guessing, because the Rams declined it. It was a 3rd down, and the Rams wanted to get off the field because it would have just been a 4th down anyways. But, like, you know what I mean? Just stuff like that. And then you look at the PI calls against the Rams that were just very tacky, one of which I agreed with, one of which was close, one of which was just straight BS, in my opinion. You've seen the Tom Brady sack fumble, or what should have been a sack fumble, in the end zone. The Rams clearly scooped and would have scored it, and the refs blew the whistle right away. I mean, they didn't give him a second to recover, and why not let that play out? Why not count it as a fumble, as a recovery, as a touchdown, and then go to the booth and check it back? You know, I feel like whatever the refs called on that play was going to stand, and they called it a dead pass, and they called it a forward pass, and it shouldn't have been. It looked like a fumble 100% to me. Obviously, it would have been game-changing. The Rams either would have had a recovery within the 5-yard line, or they would have had a defensive touchdown. And so, you know, that was BS. And then just a lot of whack stuff, man. I don't know what the referees were doing in this game. It was just very disappointing to see. I thought they called a bad game. I thought they were way too over-involved. And I'm not a guy who's going to, you know, complain about referees often. So I think that says something. But, man, with that being said, shout out to the first all-black crew that we've ever had in the NFL when it comes to referees. Man, that was super dope to see. Hopefully, we get a lot more of that moving forward. And hopefully, it just becomes commonplace to the point where it's not even notable anymore in terms of the news. So congrats to Jerome Boger and his guys for that. That's a monumental feat and something that hopefully continues and just becomes commonplace. So congrats to the Rams as well for being second in the NFC right now, 7-3. What a record, man. Just a great game, a great team. This team clearly looks like they could make a deep run in the playoffs. It's a special roster. It's a special team. And now the Rams will get ready to play another divisional foe, the one that they've lost to, in the San Francisco 49ers at home in Los Angeles, man. But before we get there, make sure to check back on Wednesday when former host Brad Motter joins me to discuss this Week 11 contest for the Rams, as well as some keys to victory for that Week 12 game between the Rams and the 49ers, man. While we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMVP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.